The book, which is called How We Killed God and Other Tales of Modern Ireland, is basically a look back at nearly 25 years of just absolutely tumultuous social and religious change in Ireland, because what's gone on in the last 25 years has been enormous. We've had all these referendum campaigns about things like divorce and children's rights and abortion, another one about abortion coming up. We had the same-sex marriage referendum. We've had all kinds of rows between church and state. The book discusses, for example, at the time in 2011 when the government closed the embassy to the Holy See. We've had the whole horrible saga of the appalling child abuse scandals, which basically I was writing about practically from the time I entered journalism in 94. Until, I guess, 2011, when the Cloyne Report came out about abuse in that diocese and the embassy to the Holy See was closed. So that's a 17-year period. And so the book covers all of these episodes and a lot more besides. And I guess what it offers is, while sometimes critical of the church, obviously particularly on the scandals, it takes, you know, what is by and large a Catholic, Christian-friendly perspective on the last 25 years of social change, which in an Irish media and publishing setting makes it a pretty unusual and almost unique package.
When you talk about How We Killed God, I mean, would it be fair to say how we killed the institutional church?
Well, I mean, obviously, if God is real, you can't kill him. But what you can do is you can do the next best thing, which is try to kill the idea of God. So you remove God as an idea from the public space and from public debate, and also from the minds of many private individuals, because they begin to think about the world in purely secular terms, and God doesn't enter their head in any significant way anymore. And I guess that's what secularism of a certain kind does. I distinguish that, by the way, from separating church and state. That's a different thing to actually removing the idea of God from the public arena and from the minds of many private people as well. The church has played its part in this, because the scandals obviously were so devastating and alienated and sickened so many people, including many Catholics, many of whom still go to Mass despite it, because they believe in the Christian message. But also, in the days of its dominance, the church became extremely domineering. Ireland, like most traditional societies, was a disciplinarian society. If you stepped out of line and broke the rules, particularly around sexual morality, and this particularly impacted upon women, you paid a big price. And in this disciplinarian society, the church often acted as the disciplinarian in chief. And so that inevitably invited a backlash, which we are still living with today. And so the church has played its part, if you like, in killing the idea of God in the public space and elsewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, people from all faiths and no faiths, will often look at this issue that within us we have a yearning, be it for God, be it for spirituality, be it for something, be it for infinite love. You know, but what we don't have a yearning for is just what you're talking about, a disciplinarian church, institutional rules and regulations.
Well, I mean, these disciplinarian societies, which have been commonplace through history and still in many parts of the world today, you know, they could only persist if people want them to persist. So people actually wanted societies to be highly disciplinarian. It tends to be a feature of poor societies, because people are kind of living barely above the breadline and literally often a few inches above starvation. And so they're terrified of the extra mouth to feed and all this kind of thing. So they end up becoming incredibly strict. And ordinary people themselves will go about enforcing the rules of the disciplinarian society, so not just the church. But obviously people today certainly don't want that kind of church. I think they did in the past, by the way, because as soon as people didn't want that kind of church basically began to disappear, and the disciplinarian society disappeared as well. That could only have survived so long if it had the support of very many people, which it undoubtedly did, because teachers were disciplinarian, parents were often disciplinarian, just all authority figures were disciplinarian. This is the way society was set up, and that kind of society persisted in Ireland longer than in most Western countries, I think because we were poorer longer than most Western countries. But what's disastrous from a Christian point of view is when people think of the church now, not everybody obviously, but a significant number of people think of the church, that's what they think of. Not just the scandals, they think of this highly authoritarian, disciplinarian side. And when they think of the church, they're thinking of the priests and the bishops and the nuns, many of whom are obviously very fine people, but that's not what they're thinking in their heads. They're thinking about the institution, and they're not thinking about the gospel, they're not thinking about Jesus. It's a bit like somebody thinking about football, but not the game. They think about the FAI, the governing structure, which is not what you should, you know, what you should be thinking about. When you think of the church, you ought to be thinking about Jesus and the gospel first and foremost, not the institution.
I mean, what you're saying reminds me a little bit of what Joe Humphrey wrote in the Irish Times. I don't know if you read his article about an atheist goes to mass, and he was talking about, you know, worrying about some of these issues is like worrying about FIFA when you're going to, you know, an under nine soccer game or whatever. You know, that's not the point. We shouldn't be worrying about those things. We should be worrying or considering the things that draw us to mass, the community, the ritual, the forgiveness, all of those things, the story of Christ. He mentioned Shay Cullen, you know, who said, I'm not interested in the institutional church, I'm interested in the teachings of Christ.
Yeah, and I think that has to be the primary thing that's in people's minds, is Jesus and the gospel. And that is the reason we're Christians. And the church, really, I mean, what is it? It is the community of the followers of Jesus. Now, it does need a structure. I mean, all organizations have structures and leadership. You may not have a particularly hierarchical structure, but you'll still have a structure. So that's necessary, but it's necessary to the greater aim, which is to spread the word of Jesus and spread the gospel. And this is a responsibility, by the way, for all Christians. All of us have this responsibility to do the best we can in our lives, to live by gospel values and to share those values and beliefs with other people. And when the church, by which again I mean the Christian community, is doing this well, that's when it's at its best, and that is when it is most attractive. And you know, that's why I hang on in there, because I'm as disgusted as anybody else is about the scandal. So why do I keep going? It's because I believe in the gospel itself, and I believe in the figure of Jesus Christ. So that's why I keep going. I mean, like, an analogy I sometimes use is with the United Nations. So the ideal that the UN represents is peace and development. But the UN actually as an institution is mired in every type of human corruption and scandal possible to the human race, including sex abuse scandals, child abuse scandals by UN peacekeepers, and cover-ups by the UN bureaucracy. So it's all there. But does that take away from the ideal of what the UN represents, peace and development? I think if the idea is good in itself, then it ought not to take away from the idea. What you do is you hang in there and you reform the institution and how it works out day to day as best you can. And it's the same with the church. If you believe in Jesus and believe in the gospel, you hang on in there despite everything that has sometimes been thrown at us by some of the leaders of the church. And indeed, some of the things thrown at us by ordinary, everyday, hypocritical Christians.
I mean, is it a case of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater? You know, I mean, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, if you take An Gada Síor Conaire, so it has had many troubles of its own recently. So is the idea of having a police force a bad idea? Obviously not. So you need a reformed police force that is doing the job it was set up to do and doing it properly. And you always then keep an eye out for, is there corruption? How do we root it out? How do we prevent it in the first place? You see, this brings us back to the overall argument about religion, because most people would admit if the idea is good in itself, then we preserve it and we try to reform it and we try to root out any corruption and other malpractices that might be taking place. And so the key issue then is religion in its various manifestations a good idea or not? Now, I obviously believe that it is, because I believe that God is real. I do believe, you know, Jesus is who Christians believe him to be, you know, the Word incarnate. And even if you don't believe that, even the worst skeptic tends to admire the figure of Jesus. So you keep going back to him. Love God, love your neighbor. You know, the two great commandments. And these are still and always will be worth obeying. And, you know, a society or a family or an individual who's has their life as best they can with, you know, the grace of God, orientated around gospel values, is trying to put themselves at the service of others and at the service of the community, and by the way, at the service of peace. Because when people hear about, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, they're thinking, oh, well, the UN Secretary General. Well, actually, it could mean you inside your own family, in the relationships you see around you, trying to bring peace between the people you know and within your own life. And that's mainly where ordinary people get a chance to be peacemakers, and there's endless chances in our ordinary lives day to day to be peacemakers. So these are values worth living by.
I mean, but a lot of people will say, well, you can live those with or without God, or with or without a belief in God.
Well, yes, you can. And there's obviously people who are non-believers of any sort of code of religion, who lead better lives than some Christians or Muslims or Jews or whatever the case may be. But Christianity, and I'm speaking here as a Christian, it teaches and has always taught that because we're all made in the image and likeness of God, we are all morally equal and of equal moral worth. Now, I read a leader in The Guardian about a year ago because it was saying only a minority of Britons now consider themselves to be religious and Christian. And here's The Guardian, which is often very sceptical of the churches, says this is a real worry, actually, because the idea that we are all created morally equal is a Christian doctrine. And if Christianity really vanishes, then does that notion vanish as well? Because if we're simply chance products of evolution and nature, then why are we morally equal? Morality is something we've invented, and it may be a convenient invention, but you do not derive from the facts of nature the doctrine that we are all morally equal and should be treated as such. So this is a Christian doctrine that Christianity has gifted to the West via Judaism, and it's an extremely important doctrine, and we have forgotten its origin.
And where can people get the book? And I presume, obviously, it's for Christmas. It would make a good Christmas present.
Well, the book can be bought through, I suppose, most bookshops. It can be bought online. It can be bought directly from the publisher, which is Currick Press. It can be bought through Amazon, so there's all kinds of ways to buy the book. And obviously, I think it's an excellent Christmas present, and particularly excellent for anybody who wants to have a view of the last 25 years that is more sympathetic towards Catholicism and Christianity than a great deal of the commentary we get today.
It won't have everybody fighting over the Christmas dinner.
Maybe don't read it on Christmas Day.
Okay, David, thank you very much.